rằng là chính khúc mi, cũng rằng lòng hãy thề lòng hãy nay ở trong lòng là người ơi người đông về vội dối trong mà lòng là chứ đến bây giờ thì em vội dối trong mà lòng đường về ôi linh tình tình rằng là bên ấy cũng có trông chừng là trông chừng còn xa xa là người ơi người đừng về đêm khuya trong đại trong lạnh á xê xa bởi chứng ngôi linh tình tình rằng cũng rằng hóa ra thì hóa ra lấy ơ thì lại là người ơi người đừng về.
You are tuned to WFMU East Orange, WMFMU Mount Hope in New York City and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. My math is not the greatest. I can't read back the set list, for I am going to be late starting the next program. Suffice it to say, you can run on over to the website, and everything is there on the playlist. This has been the Gateway to Joy. I've been Donna. Thanks for sticking around. Fabio returns next week. All be well. And whatever you do, keep it right where it is. Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White up in just a second. Once again, this is Freeform, listener-supported WFMU. Thanks for checking in. Be well, and hope to see you sometime down the road.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, for Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, the musical. Isn't that something? All your favorite things in Hardy White in melody form. Musical accompaniment, sung oh, you're gonna love it. I welcome you to Hardy White the Musical. I would never do that to you. I thought about that for about 2 seconds, and it's done quite a bit. Oh, hello my friends, and welcome. There's two things that I would like to talk to you about today: zombies and musicals, and I think they have a lot in common. You know, there's many movies where the premise is, hey, I think we can get this old thing running again, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or Frankenstein. And they decide to resurrect something, whether it be, oh, an old criminal or a machine or something like that. A car, in many ways, is an old criminal. And I believe the car in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang had killed already, either the driver or pedestrians or something. The movie opens with the car still alive, and then it crashes, and then the immortal Dick Van Dyke finds it and said, I can turn this into, I'm going to make candy whistles. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's something like that. But and he gets it going again, just in the same way as Victor Frankenstein got, I call him Victor, we're supposed to say Dr. Frankenstein or Professor Frankenstein, got that person running again. And a lot of times people do this with old ideas. And they'll say, you know, we're looking for a musical. Now, when you're having a big production in one of these towns, let's not say it's a real town. Let's make up a town like Cincinnati. And you've got to raise money in a big, expensive music hall or something to put on a production. You can't just go around saying, we're going to put on an avant-garde musical called, you know, Hardy White's Knee Cartilage or something. I don't know. And it's just an hour of rain. And why, that's a provocative, exciting idea. You're not going to get the wealthy patrons that give the money or buy the tickets or anything like that. So it has to be something familiar. So there's a bit of a paradox where, you know, somebody won't be entertained by something that already entertained me. So what would you like to eat for dinner? I'd like to eat what I've already eaten. Well, you know, if you've already passed it, I think you're going to be really disappointed. I don't know whether you make one a facsimile or something like that. So if you've already passed it, a thing we can do is add songs. And that's what they do to a lot of old shows or something. Say, let's just take a show that already exists. And that's what they do now. Now, back in the day, they did write musicals and they got entrenched and they subverted the paradox somehow. And now those are still there, the ancient musicals that they have on Broadway. So they say, oh, you know, Pippin was written in the 1830s. Or it could have been. I don't know. But things like that. And so we're doing a production of it. That's the familiarity. So another thing they'll do is they'll say, let's take, you know, the old kids cartoon, Flintstones, itself a ripoff, and make a musical out of Flintstones the Musical or something. And they may have done this. You say, Hardy, they already did it. I believe you. You know, I'm Fred and I'm working in the gravel pit for Mr. Slade and he won't release the Epstone files or something like that and try to make it pertinent. And it just doesn't hit for me because I think this idea has been done and you're just adding music. And you can really fool a friend. You can say, there's a musical version of All in the Family. And they'll go, oh, maybe. Like, everything seems like it could be because we're living in those times where there's no distinguishing between the zombies and the previously living people. And so the zombies seem so familiar. I'm just so comfortable with my current lawn service that I've had since the 1930s. And I don't mind so much that they're deteriorating corpses and that they use those spinny lawnmowers that look like skeletons themselves, don't they? They're called real lawnmowers, but spelled differently. R-E-E-L, real. Oh my God, Keeping It Real is my company that sells both fishing rods and those old lawnmowers and anything else that's spelled that way. We're not really particular. There could be a type of drug the kids are doing now. I'm going to do some real. I would. At least once. Oh my goodness. Now, I'm not going to perform any musical for you because the minute I get the idea and I think that would be funny, it's just a one-liner. I've found that out about many things. It's like Friends the Musical, you know, how you doing, like that or something, we're done. Now, if you sat down and say, first of all, I'm going to make an investment. I'm going to get some money. I'm going to buy a lot of cocaine or something and friends. And then I'm going to write this, all these songs. I'll spend ages and ages doing it. And then if no one sees it, I'll go, what the heck? I put in all this effort. It's just because you put in effort. Because no one's coming to visit my big hole in the ground. You should have checked. I did. I asked everybody if it was a good idea, and they said no, and I did it. Now nobody's coming. Now, this is often the case. And now some things are worth doing, even if somebody says no, like cop rock or something. Maybe somebody at the time went, oh, I don't know, it's pretty out there. I'm glad they did it. I don't know if everybody associated with it is. I'm sure they are. Nobody's career was damaged by it or anything. And I'm glad it exists, aren't you? So, like so many things. I'd love to go back and add more, if they could add more CGI now and have them float around. That's a lovely thing that can be done too. And that's a sort of zombifying. It's like, instead of making a musical of it, say, I would like to watch some All in the Families, but I don't know whether After Effects or any or what, but I'd like to see him twirl around or float around like Neil Breen or something. Like, oh, no, Archie's over here on this couch. That'd be lovely. I'd say I'd watch that all day long. And you wouldn't need to have any new stuff. But, hey, that's what I'm saying that we're against, maybe, is the zombification. Oh, or the musical zombification. And I tell you, there's musicals and operas have always been the scoundrel of scoundrels, scoundreling or something. I don't know. It's always been, it's a dangerous cave. Let's say that. Because I'm going to write a musical called Bless You So Much and then get people to sing it. And I've seen this happen. I've seen amateur productions of musical gone crazy where the people writing the musical have a little bit of money and you can literally just hire symphonies. I don't know if you know this, but like if you have enough money, you hire everyone. And a lot of times that the venues that are doing this are good at it and the, you know, people come see it. But sometimes it's just people who are like, I've got all this money and all this ego and all this, oh, I don't know. I would like to do a sort of fantasy camp where I'm Stephen Sondheim. And so what they'll do is put something on like that. And then that's a beautiful thing too. I think everything, I have a very, very controversial philosophy. And that is, I believe that everything should be made. If you have a screenplay, if you have a play, if you have, everything should be produced. Like, it's just not acceptable to have my screenplay won't get produced. That's because you're trying to sell it to professionals or something. When you could just absolutely go start say, I'm going to volunteer for scouting. Get in charge of like a scout thing. And then you go, we're doing my play. That's it. It's done. It's easy. You don't have to pay anybody. They're paying you. So there's ways to get things produced. I think what happens is people have very lofty. So I want everyone to hear my album. I want everyone to. I think it's enough to have maybe people in assisted living or something hear your music. They need it. And what's a blessing is that they're not going to. Your reputation. It's not like forever. You know how you do something? Oh, I perform for young people. It's going to be forever before they forget me. Not so with the elderly. You can move on to another. It's like working on a cruise ship. So everybody here is getting off at, you know, in Miami. And so I can start fresh once again. Oh, isn't that what we want? Just to start over again? Or to break into song? That's been a comedy. I like to do things that are tried and true. Or another word for it is worn out or played out. And you say, why would you want to do old stale jokes or concepts or bits? Do old bits that have been done to death. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as wabi-sabi for comedy. My comedy's lived in. It's worn. You can see where people have used it before to get jokes or people haven't really laughed at it. You can see there's scars on it where people have thrown tomatoes or cans or something like that or salt and pepper shakers that they stole from a 1980 McDonald's. You know the type. You see it now, don't you? Oh, bless you, radio. Miracle of radio. Miracle of radio. Come. The first, I'm trying to think of the first musical I ever heard. It was probably, like many people, the one that, what's the one that Vicky stole? Sound of Music. I like her version. I like the one. I don't remember the helicopters being in the original, but Sound of Music might be the first musical I ever remember. I was taken to as a child, and I just remember thinking, it might have been my first movie. I didn't see when it came out, but like, you know, they take you. And I remember thinking, oh, movies suck. This is, because I really like cartoons and things. And I just thought, I didn't know what was going on. And I don't know why I was 4 or 5, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you can outsing those Nazis. Come on. That was too subtle for me, I believe. And the kind of musicals I liked were more, I guess, I'm not going to say the name of the company, but it's named after the creepy founder with the porno mustache. You know who it is. My name will be on everything. He didn't speak that way. And my movies, all children, will be familiar with my movies, and they will recount fairy tales and things like that, and they will delve into childhood fears. They will provoke these children. Some of the images that we show them will haunt them for their entire lives, and we will build theme parks, and they'll reminisce about these horrible memories, won't they? And that's the fellow with the mustache that I was just talking about. Bless him, though. And so those movies are the ones I like, though, and they had music in them as well. And often they had people in the cast that were famous musicians and all. And this is not just Jesus Christ Superstar, but like Jungle Book. I remember as a child thinking, listening to that and thinking, oh, is that Louis Prima? Oh, my goodness, that's Louis Prima. I wonder if Keely Smith is going to be one of the monkeys. But the other voices are familiar. Say, I feel that one. That's Sebastian Cabot. Now, he's not going to sing anything, probably. A lot of times musicals will have just spoken word people in them, too. So, you're not going to sing a song, are you, Shrimpo? You know, you bet I'm going to sing a song from dun-dun-dun-dun. Well, here at the bottom of the sea. Something like that. And then just Shrimpo will sing, and then the other character will do their thing. But who knows? Nowadays, too, they've got auto-tune. So any of the celebrities, they can put them in key. But back in the day, maybe they'd just get them to do like a recitati or a, what do you call it, speak-sing, you know? Like this. I think I will begin to sing a song for you. That's not really singing. Do dee do 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 do. Like that, like, and you don't have to sing that way. But there's still a musicality to it, isn't it? You say, I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna get a Rex Harrison record. And I might make love to it. Just but not with anyone, you know. I'm dragging my into that. But I'll tell you what, the spoken word, I hope it's doing it for you now, the spoken word. Oh, my goodness. I will just sometimes, instead of music, I'll put on an old spoken word record. Poetry? Not just poetry. Sometimes old sales motivation records, you know, where they tell you how to tell a joke. Or if you're going to enter sales, why, you have to love people. Because if not for selling to people, who would you sell to? It reminds me of a story of a fellow who walks into the... That kind of thing. And then you... And I've met folks like that where the art is getting them to like you. And then what you do from there is your own business. But most of the thing, the obvious thing would be sales. The subtler thing would be long-term manipulation for political gain. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know if musicals do that. But I want to share something with you. And it's a little outing that my friends and I had to go see a performance, one of these musicals they have in town. And like I'm saying, it's got always a familiar one, because you wouldn't go if you hadn't heard of it. You go, that one, I have heard of that. And if you've ever played that game with your friends where you name musicals until someone throws up, It's a lot of fun. Godspell, blah, like that. It's not a comment on the musical itself. There's some very good ones. I'm gonna name some ones that are really good. There's some really good musicals out there, and there's some ones you think were good until you go to watch them again. But if you just everything aside, if you just take a song like, you know, Hernando's Hideaway. And you say, the pajama game. What a great premise, really, for a musical. It's a pajama factory. And I can see with Carol Haney is funny. I don't know. I mean, stuff like that works. or you say Oklahoma, or one of them, South Pacific. Now, these are all records that I grew up with. What? Now, I don't know anything about your parents, but my mother just really just mainly had two kinds of records. Musical soundtracks and Shelley Berman. And I know this sounds like I'm making it. No, it sounds like I'm not making it up. And I was like, well, this sounds a little too confessional. I don't know. I just have to share it with you because I feel like I don't know if anybody else had this experience. We just, and I'd listen to, oh, forgot one important thing. There was a Herb Alpert album. And that one I played over and over and over again. Still such a huge fan of Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, that era. But she had musicals, you know, so I would listen to it. I'd listen to Oklahoma. I'd listen to South Pacific. And I just remember at seven going like, there ain't anything like a dame. And adults looking at me like, look at that, it's a dame. And it's great. It made me feel powerful and popular. And then also the Shelley Berman albums. And, seven or eight-year-old child speaking like Shelley Berman. And that's odd to you. But now think about it for 2 seconds. Like, you know, if you gave a child an opera album and you say, I gave this young child Patagucci, Patamachi Pachi, Patagonachi, Pachani. And, Elmo singing opera, or whatever it is. And the child emulated it and became a great opera singer. You'd go, well, that was great. What a great idea. But you see, you give him a Shelley Berman album or something, or a Bob Newhart. I don't know. It's a North Jersey, South Jersey dynamic. But if you give a child a Shelley Berman album and they go ahead and they memorize it or whatever, they internalize it, I think that is also beautiful. It might be illegal. It's horrible. But it's also, there's a beauty to it. You know, when you watch a bug dying, you say, there's something just so real and lovely about nature. And I feel that way about comedy, especially like 60s comedy. Because I like the feeling of listening to adults say things that I don't get. But then people are laughing. So I'm thinking, how are they doing that? You must unlock the key. What are they laughing at? Figure that out. You might have to do some research. This is pre-internet, so I'm like, you know, I don't know what Zen is or something like that. Or, if you know, if you notice when you're flying, I'm never flying. I don't know if, you know. I don't know who any of the rest is. I don't know who Carol Lombard is. God bless her. I guess she's dead because from context. But now all those things went on to shape me. And I'd just like to turn them into a musical maybe. But no, I won't do that. But I will share this adventure with you. Can I share an adventure with you? This is my friends and I going to see a musical. Hurry up! We'll be late for the show!
I hope we're so late we miss it completely.
We aren't going to be late. If anything, we're going to be early. Doors don't open for another 30 minutes.
Why do you want to see a musical so bad? In some cultures, they're considered torture.
It's not just any musical. It's Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling. That holds a special place for my people.
Who are your people?
People from Florida in bands.
You're not in a band.
I'm not, but I come from a band family. Like, you weren't in the military, but you come from a military family.
No, I don't.
Well, the idea that an ordinary nobody from Florida can play music and stay a nobody is a story that resonates with my Florida band family.
No promises I don't fall asleep and start screaming from night terrors.
Do your best, Butch.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, actually.
My favorite number, Papaw told me in a dream you were going to get signed, is my favorite one. But Papaw is dead, he had cancer in the head, but he was so real, you're going to get a record deal. Record deal.
I'm just going to sit in the cry room and do the puzzle. And I don't normally take any drugs, but for tonight, I got my doctor to give me a prescription for all of them.
Oh, we're here. This is Plate Spring Hall. There could be no Plate Spring Hall.
Excuse me, can we just get
there? There could be no production of Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling without our patrons. The greatest thanks to Arkansan Arts Foundation, Jock and Trish Hongertz, the Forbrain Family Trust, Council Arts, Arts Council of the Arts, Bill Todman, Mark Goodson Foundation, Mary Lloyd, Brookshire Mountain Associates, Farman Group, Brian Caster, Machinist Hospital and Jewish, Lisa A. and Arnie R. Tafusian. And now, without further ado, our wonderful production of Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling.
Back to gone, salt, that the band are gone, yeah. Then they're gonna get up a sheet.
A Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling. That's pretty crazy, right? But in my hometown of Dufundiac, Florida, we are all Singer-Songwriters on the Ceiling. But if it's so dangerous, why do we do it? Because like the boy cleaning the elephant poop said, what, and leave show business?
Show business.
You see, we sustain ourselves with our secret weapon. But what is it? What keeps you going in the face of all these odds? Delusion. 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 We have delusion. Delusion is our plan. Delusion. Delusion. I see I'm not the only one in the cry room without a baby.
I have a baby. I just left it back home.
Oh, and where are you from?
Let me flip the tables on you and ask of you, are you a cop?
No, no, I'm sorry. No, thank you. No, I was just curious from your accent.
I lived a lot of places growing up. My parents were in the military.
Oh, what branch?
Our side. Hey, nice talking to you and all, but could you shut up now? I might get a sudden self-destructive urge to listen to the musical.
Oh, by all means, very sorry.
I may be just a poor guitar center worker from Dufundiac, Florida, but I know one thing. There's a difference between a strap...
Nope, I can't do it.
If I were a rock star, all day long I'm Tim Glam Plow. If I were a rock star, all day long I'd chow chow wow wow chick chow. If I were a rock star, all day long I'd bounce out boom pow bounce out wow 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 chow.
Plate Spring Hall and the Meta Popular Opera Company, along with the Ark Arkin Foundation and WWKWF, present the timeless Florida musical classic, Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling. With a stellar cast of the best of our community, and in the lead role of Rollo, star of stage and screen, Topol Van Zandt.
I wish I'd gotten to meet Topol Van Zandt, but I bet he was exhausted after that great show.
Or ashamed.
He really does own the part of Rollo, the dejected Guitar Center employee who dreams of big things and then gets beat up by Cossacks.
That part, along with the whole thing, I do not get.
I liked it. I thought it was inspiring.
Why did you turn off the radio? Sometimes they play a song from the musical after the ad.
You just heard it. Oh, Lord.
This just in. Star of stage and screen, Topol Van Zandt, has been kidnapped. I repeat, star of stage and screen. After performing tonight, the lead role of Singer-Songwriter on the Ceiling was taken at gunpoint by a masked man wearing a blue double-breasted suit.
What the heck? That's terrible. I know the guy who did it.
What?
Well, I don't know him, but I mean, he was in the cry room with me. British guy. Asked too many questions.
You really think you saw the kidnapper, Butchie?
Maybe. So, what do we do now? Nothing.
I agree. Nothing.
Yeah, what can we do? Good story, though.
Holy crap, that's him.
What? Where?
In the car next to us.
And that's Topol Van Zandt in the back seat.
I think he saw us. After him.
After him? And then what?
He's shooting at us.
Nah, that's just backfire. Or maybe the radio's playing the handgun sonata.
See, this is why I love musicals.
He's pulling over.
Pull over.
Butchie, are you nuts?
You want to save your boring pal or not?
Well, real theater kids should be able to get hit with a few.
Hey, pal, I believe you took a souvenir from the show that you shouldn't... Oh, whoa, 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 no need for that.
Well, if it isn't my little rude friend from the cry room, I knew you'd be trouble.
Topol, are you all right?
Am I all right? Am I all right? As the good book says, don't smoke the selling weed. If it's Feed the Gator Day.
Does that mean all right?
There's only one way this is going to end.
Wait a minute. We got some exposition to go through. Why are you kidnapping Topol Van Zandt?
Kidnapping?
Kidnapping? If only I could get the kidnapping.
I'm not kidnapping him, I'm rescuing him.
Rescuing him? Explain.
This man that you know as Topol Van Zandt is the real Rollo Skinnerd.
Rollo Skinnerd is just a character in a musical.
Just a character in a musical. That explains all the music and characters in my life.
You see, people who produce musicals routinely kidnap and force into theatrical service actual real-life comic tragic figures like Mr. Skinnerd here.
Topol, is that true?
Yes.
I think it's only right that you return Rollo Skinnerd to his people in Florida who have the knowledge and stomach to care for such an individual.
I agree. You need to throw Topol, I mean Rollo, back into the wild where he belongs.
But what about the production? Singer-songwriter on the ceiling brings a lot of joy to many people.
You there, in the ill-fitting coat.
Me? You look exactly like Rollo.
Hardy, you do.
You should take his place in the production. You even know all the words already.
Oh, I couldn't.
A poor guitar clerk like me, played by such a big shot. If that's not making it, I don't know what is.
It's settled then. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Move away from the vehicle.
Set up, break down. Set up, break down. Set up, break down. Such is the life of a Florida bar band. There's my bass player. It used to have more hair. It used to have more teeth there. And another leg. Florida bar band. There's my drummer. He's gotten so heavy. I worry about how heavy he is. I think it's the booze and the bad food. Florida bar band.
Wizard of Ed, Wizard of Ed, I'm a tiny little old king. Why are the peasants revolting? Wizard of Ed is me. I'm trying to write a musical based on things from the funny papers I remember when I was a kid.
I'm Hager the Horrible. I like to drink from a tankard.
Something like that. And, you can rhyme yourself into a corner, though. Tankard. Uh-oh.
I like to drink from a stein. I think I've lost my mind.
So I don't know. I could go on. If you spend a lot of brain power thinking about it, I pity you. I don't pity you. My goodness, it's compassion. I don't know the difference. I find it like I look at a lot of people. Oh my goodness, I feel such compassion for you. Now, this is the origin of the expression. I've run into a problem with this in the past. Bless your heart, which a lot of people say in a condescending way. So they're blessing them because they think they're deserving of pity. So that's what it means, 100%. So it's pity instead of compassion. Now, I wonder at the end of the day what the difference is. Because if I'm on the side of the road and I need help changing my tire, I'm going to be taking both pity and compassion helpers. And because I'm not going to have my feelings hurt by me attaining my goal. So just that, I'm just a heads up for anybody. Oh my goodness, if you want to listen to me, anything out of pity, if you want to attach the suffix pity, or I guess it's a prefix people use. Oh, this is a pity listen. Go ahead. Bless you. I wouldn't mind. Do it out of compassion. And bless your heart. And so I started years ago saying bless your heart without any irony or whatever. And literally, here was my philosophy. So if you're saying bless your heart where it's condescending, everybody's pitiable, everybody's stupid or something like that, then it dawned on me that everybody's sort of like equally stupid or pitiable, right? We're all in it together. Bless all of our hearts. So if we're blessing all of our hearts, we're all idiots. Bless us all, everyone, as Tiny Tim said before he finally shrunk into oblivion. Oh, that's such a heartbreaking story. Then you can say, bless your heart, bless my heart, without any kind of condescension. Because there's to be condescending, you must put yourself over someone. And if we're living in an emotional Netherlands, there's no mountains. So I can't stand up there. We're all down here on the floodplain together. Oh, I don't mind it. Let's make a musical out of it. Hardy White, the musical. I already put a lot of songs into things. And you can tell when there's a quality to your music and to the songs you write. What is it? I feel like it's contempt, not just for the music and the song itself. Yes, I think a little bit. And why? I don't know, because it's a silly. All our conventions are silly. I'm not against doing them, but I just hard to not think they're really silly. And I love creating with all these invisible parameters. Because that's what it is. You know, you sit down and you say, I have to write a song, and it has to sound like ones that have already been written. And you don't have to, but then your album is just going to get played on WFMU, and you say, that's enough. That might be Dianu. Dianu, if my noise album is like, Scott or somebody played, I heard my song, Blibble Blibble Blab. I know. First of all, it was a great cut.
Blibble Blibble Blab. Set it.
Set.
Blibble Blibble Blab.
Ta 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 ta,
blibble blibble blab.
Oh, now grab that, throw something on it like static. I think it's going to be good. I just like to hear. First of all, I'm not saying all that in a condescending way because I like to hear the human mind playing with ideas, thinking, noodling through things. Even if it's wrong, the solutions are wrong. You know, it's like when you did you ever play that game where you take an animal or a naive person or something and put them in a labyrinth and you say, I want to see what they're going to do. And then you put a camera on them and you go, look, they look very frightened and confused. And then you can watch them and find something out about their behavior. Look, they're terrifying. They're throwing up now. They're terrified and shaking because the people want to know where they are. They don't like to be disoriented like that. Now, some are fine. You know, some people you can plop down anywhere. And they truly are. Say, are you not concerned that you don't know where you are or what just happened or what's about to happen? They go, what are you going to do? Now, most of my friends are like that because they're fictional characters. And they find it very easy. They say, well, we have such little control over our lives anyway. Who knows where we were just now or where we're going to be? I feel that way about the Three Stooges. Now, when I say the Three Stooges, I don't mean Mo Howard, Larry Fine, Curly Howard, Shemp Howard, Joe Besser, Curly Joe Derita, Mosey. I don't know who else. I mean, everybody else who's ever said they were a Three Stooge. I mean the characters. Mo Larry Curley, let's hear Mo Larry Shemp. Now, those characters wake up every day in a different universe. And they don't really question it so much. They don't say, "Just were we not just yesterday plumbers installing plumbing into a house incorrectly? And now today we awake and we're something different, different premise." And it's sort of interesting. You get to live multiple lives that way as a character. So who am I today? What are going to be the adventures of Shemp? The new adventures of Shemp. Here's a good one. The new musical adventures of Shemp. You can't do that. No, I mean, that family, they keep clutching on that. It's going to be a Three Stooges comic book. I think they did that almost day one. The Three Stooges said to the children, you know, it's like, if you want to throw a comic book. And you wonder, sit down. I'm going to sit down with this beautiful graphic novel called A Boobin' We Go or something like that. And just check it out. See what it's been done. Maybe different art styles. I'd love to see the Three Stooges done. And now there's an anthology where there's Comic-Con's coming up, so I got to have ideas. And they're drawn. They've done that with I've seen that done with, like, the Simpsons comics maybe or something. No? They have different artists? No? Am I wrong? Or Adventure Time or something? Say, what would it look like if it was drawn by my aunt with her left hand with a crayon? It doesn't have to be an artist doing it. Just another version of a thing is very interesting to me. And variety. You know, when you're coming up with flavors for jelly beans or something, they don't all have to be great. You know, just they're going on a list. No one jelly bean flavor is going to have to be out there doing all the heavy lifting. Unless you buy a whole bag that's just, you know, all caper flavored jelly beans. But I mean, if you have the caper flavored one in there with your salmon, or you say, I got an onion, a salmon, a cream cheese one. Be nice to have a caper jelly bean in there as well. I got my Savory Beans Jelly Bean Company, which is just savory jelly beans. It's rather nice. They're, you know, you think, I don't think I'd like something like that, Hardy. If you've had not a kimchi jelly bean, then you have not. That's all I can say. And I think that all those things are wonderful things to explore. And, you know, we have expectations and prejudices and bigotries that keep us from trying different things. And also morals. I don't know how far you want to go. But it's a big, not everything's a moral issue, whether you have crunchy or smooth peanut butter. It's more, those are, the moral things are more out on the edges where you say, am I harming people? That's for me. Is it if it's crunchy peanut butter, and the crunch comes from something like your property or parts of your friends or something like that, I'm not going to eat it. But so we'll talk when we can negotiate too. And I think that's interesting. I think she'd be walking down the street and say, what would it take for you to go home and change that shirt and put on something with a collar? And then you talk about it. But people get so mad. And I don't know if I'd be, I don't know what kind of lead, I don't really, I'm not a leader person in that. I don't really subscribe to that. Here's things I don't subscribe to. Photography magazines from the 80s. That they're being leaders. Various outdated false scientific notions. I do not subscribe to them, my friend, sir. As of now, sir. I have a very rigorous criteria for belief. And that is, it seems right. And that's what I use. It's not my gut. I'm not even going to tell you where the sensory organ I use to figure out whether something is right or wrong. Okay, I'll tell you, my brain. But I don't even know what part I'm using. Oh, God, like a computer. The brain is so much like everything else in my life that I use. I have no idea how it works. When it breaks, I go to like one of these repairmen. They don't seem like they know what really is going on, but they are confident. And then, you know, but that's everything. Just every decision seems to be made in ignorance. Now, I don't know much about decision theory, and I'm thinking about learning about it. I'm weighing all the pros and cons of learning decision theory. I'm in the running to learn game theory. And something I put my name in this site. I don't know if I'm going to learn any of these things, really. I have a collection of books which are for the layman. Let's just say. And then let's just say they're for the layman and they're in maybe simplified words, big print. And by layman, maybe I mean elementary school child. But definitely not for a professional scientist or anything like that. But I have this curiosity. And I think it correlates with my being stupid. There's just so much I don't know. You're so curious about the world. Yes. Because of the lack of knowledge. I find that people who know everything are a little less curious. You see, you know how that works?
Oh, yeah.
So you're not thinking about it all the time. But there's so much of the world that I don't understand. And I feel sad and angry about it sometimes, but that hasn't done anything. I felt that way about death when I started to lose people I love very young. I was like, oh, I'm mad about this. And I go, well, nobody cares. And I learned that. And you figure out through art how to cope with that and what to do with those emotions. And what I did is I would aim them unwittingly at people I don't know very well. But that's only a temporary solution. What you really want to do is sate your curiosity by always keeping your eyes open and looking at things and looking for connections. But you don't have to come to any conclusions because the feeling of curiosity is so wonderful, you want to keep it going anyway. So don't overeat. You know, just take a little bite of here and there. But if you overeat, you might think, oh, I've got this all figured out. Let's say you walk into a feast and you say, I've never seen so much food. And so you immediately walk up to the bean dip and you eat the bean dip and it's so good. Oh, it's like ambrosia. And you eat the bean dip and it has salty, sweet, savory, sweet, salty, exotic drugs. Who knows what's in it? And you keep eating, you keep eating, you keep eating until you're so full. Oh, and you walk away and you say, oh, a feast is so good. But you didn't really experience the feast. You just pigged out at the bean dip station. Friends, are you pigging out at the bean dip station and not experiencing the entire buffet? Hi, I'm Hardy White, inventor of the home school of making a musical out of everything. You can make a musical out of anything. Say anything. Did he say? I said anything. You said anything. Did he say anything? I said anything. You can make a musical out of any. So that's all you do is that, how I do it is I will, a lot of times I'll talk at a volume that makes me uncomfortable. Because that's when people get on stage, when people do stage voice, I cringe in such a way that I maybe suck up into my own, you know, orifices. Like a three-dimensional Möbius strip or something. I don't know what it's called. Like a torus. I go up, and the hole is my butt. And I just become... But it's why I'm trying to run from being a human, because that's how embarrassed I am. But at the same time, I'm fascinated. So I like stepping out and I like doing this. Well, welcome. I love that. I do that on a stage, even if no one's asked, well, what a beautiful day today is. Nothing more quiet and serene than sitting in the park. like that. So that's what you want to start with that.
And then imagine the orchestra going,
the park is one of my favorite places. Well, the park is...
And then you do that. And if you just feel like your whole body is puckering, like you don't, like run, then you're doing it correctly, I believe. Now, there's some people that can do it without the feeling of profound discomfort. And I can't. I'm not one, but it doesn't mean I don't love to do it. And I just couldn't recommend more belting. Now, what's belting? Belting is when you do that top of your lungs singing that they do in musicals. Now, it's not all, you know, this is not belting. There was a boy. Nature Boy's a great song, by the way. Anyway, but then you might want to belt if you're like, look at me, I'm the king of New York. And you go, shush. If you feel like that, then that's the belting. And a lot of that's that kind of musical singing. And I'm telling you, it's really fun to do. You feel like it's that kind of hurting people that doesn't hurt them. I don't know. It's what I do for a living. But it's not. It just feels right. I don't know. It's just grabbing. You're not allowed to really grab people by the shoulders and shake them. So any opportunity to do that and connect with those, say, hey, human, I'm alive too. Everybody open their eyes. This is crazy. If we could, we could all take care of one another and mitigate this strange and terrifying experience of being alive. If we could all just realize that everybody's going through it. Look, oh, don't, come on, I'm no harm to you. Look at me in the eyes. And I would, and I still dream of a world like that where no one's, that fear, I see it creep in, you know? And sometimes the fear flashes so quickly and goes so straight to anger or aggression or anything like that. You think, oh, look at that cruel being. And you don't, because that fear lurks, though. So if there was only a way to get rid of it, and I really, really believe that musical theater is not the answer, but it also is not a problem. So I'm not for getting rid of it. But I don't know if it's going to, I mean, hey, maybe. I know there's people offended right now. They go, musical theater can save humanity. That might be that big a, now that if I inspired your musical called Musical Theater Saves Humanity, and there's something that terribly recursive and meta, I'd like, blah, 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 that would be lovely. Do everything should be about and about and about. And same with musicals. Like I feel like Hairspray is the best. So it's a movie. And they make a musical. Then I think they made a movie of the musical. And then they made a musical movie of the movie musical. It just keeps going, doesn't it? And that's what a wonderful thing, in a way. And in a way, not. But maybe sequels to musicals should sometimes not be musicals. Jesus Christ Superstar, no singing. Just like Hippie Jesus. And you could do it. You just pick it. I don't know. I wish I could name them. Here's the problem, though. If I start naming them, then my general audience is like, oh, now, Hardy, you're going deep here with these deep cuts on musicals. I've not seen any of them. One of them is I don't like when there's a pun in it, but that's okay. But there could be a pun in your, or it shouldn't rhyme with musical. Wordplay, you don't need it. Just colon the musical, and that's enough. You don't have to be original. Oh, bless you. None of us are. We're all going through the same thing that people have done in the same way, with the same mixture of tragic and comic and joyful and painful experiences. Oh, am I glad to be going through it? I tell myself that. So that I can be. I don't know any other way. I'm trying to gain the system. And I'm trying to have a thing by having it. But I don't really reasons and everything evade me. But boy, I know that sometimes when I'm with friends like you and we're in a state where we're not wanting to hurt one another or bring each other down or You say, well, let's make each other happy, or make each other laugh, or console one another, or talk about, or be boring, be really boring in a sweet, charming way, where you go, oh, it goes on a lot about muffins, but, you know, I mean, it's, I'm interested, not as much as he is, but it's charming, and oh, God bless, and I do eat, I make nice muffins, and so I don't really mind all that much. Oh, I'll hear about your muffins if you just say you'll stay with me. Oh, stick with me, my friends. We will journey this thing together. We've been here so long on the radio together, too. Oh, what a, that's how to prove it's really radio. Because I don't think that the fake radio voices are going to do that a lot. They might. You know what that is? The
this
is the audio equivalent of lens flare, I think. People say it's feedback, but I think it's pop. Because then you know, oh, just like lens flare means, oh, there's a camera there. The light is physically hitting something. This means, but oh, the sound is physically hitting this thing that has limitations. And I like that about, sometimes I'll even use that as an effect. You know when you're like, there's interviews or something you'll hear and somebody will just get right off it. Well, that's a lovely space to be. It's really if you can be quiet there, it's really nice. That's all your. That's the area of the closeness to the microphone, where you in a world. And that's because I don't think those low frequencies project as much as the high ones. So,
in a world,
or that's where you. Ah, I like that, and then you can hear the. But here, now I can yell at you. Oh, it's beautiful, all those sounds. Those are music, too. Would it be all right to have a musical where you go to the theater, and it's one of those kind of theaters that has opera, so it's a very high stage, impossibly high. The actors look little tiny down there, but and the sets might go all the way up to the ceiling. But there isn't any music, and there's very little acting, and really what there is mainly is rain. It just looks like rain beside some buildings, and maybe there's tiny little actors that walk by. But the sound, the music, the thing you're listening to is the rhythm of the rain in an opera house. And you sit there sort of waiting for something to happen, so-called. But things are happening all the time. And in that space that's being allowed, where there's just a minimum amount of movement and a complex rhythmic sound, you can add to it. In real time, your thoughts become integrated into the scene. It's not being taken up by some story or something that commands your attention. Your attention is allowed to wander, to discover, and as it discovers, it can compose so that you're making things up as you're watching the art. Now, I've got just about the worst kind of art for that. Because when I'm talking like that, it's almost impossible to do anything else unless you're playing banjo along to it. Now, that has happened. People grab my voice and put it in songs. It's true. And I love it. I love when that happens. You're welcome to do that. It has not happened in many years. But it was. It did. It happened. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to name the bands, and I suddenly forget because I don't want to get the name wrong. You know what I mean? And that's worse than when you're listening. You go, say the name of my band, Artie. Yeah, it was Beetle Smear or something. No, it's not even close. So that's why I don't want to do it. And then that's hurtful. But I'll go do my research. I'm going to go do my homework right now. Oh, my goodness. What is my homework? It's thinking about you, my friend. It's thinking about what it means to be a person. Living in this world, confronted by confusion and tragedy and personal pain and the pain of others and trying to balance things and understand expectations and figure out what went on before we got here and what will go on after we're here and who you are and all that kind of thing. It's very confusing. And so what I like to bring to you is a sort of something very basic. Like a tea cozy, Something just to keep your tea warm, to help you, not to set you straight or give you answers or solutions or be some kind of guide to you. Just be not even a friend, something like an acquaintance, a familiar face. You know, when you go into the same, they have a boulangerie. So you go to the boulangerie. Let's say you go to the boulangerie. And at the boulangerie, there's a fella you see all the time. Boo. I don't know if what's his name. You call him that because you never, I'm so embarrassed. It's too late to ask. So Boo at the boulangerie, you see all the time. And the familiarity is phrased and the kindness, you feel a connection. And it makes you feel like you belong to something. This person accepts you and you them. And they could be a tree. They could be the bank building, especially if the bank building is sort of like neo-Gothic. And it's really lovely. It's one of the latest, really late neo-Gothic bank building. But it's nice. When most of the things around, I don't know if it was originally a bank. I don't think it was. But that's what I'd like to be that for you. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me here. All of life is a musical. Dum, 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 bum, 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 bum. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County. Hang on, I got that all right. You are listening to WFMU. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and in New York City, and online. What is wrong with me? And online at WFMU.org worldwide. This might have to be redone later, so I don't know if he stutters it, it isn't official. Well, I'm so glad to be with you, and maybe I didn't get everything out perfect. And maybe I didn't even get anything out good. And maybe it's not an A-plus show or a B-minus show or a C, or maybe it's even, but I'll tell you what it isn't, is incomplete. Because you and I are here together, and that makes it complete. So whatever work it is, whatever grade that you think I got, I hope it's a high. I don't really believe in grades either. But if you could just get me like a percentage, say that was at least a 90. That makes me feel, 100 would make me feel super good. Or I say, oh, it's 105, Hardy, or whatever. Thank you. And if you, pity or compassion, they're both fine. I love you so much. I'll see you again next week.
His name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twin's 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 name was Ebony.
better blow up.
Yeah, 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 y
Yeah. Hey.